All right, so first, before we get started, I wanted to show this video. If somebody could turn the lights real quick. When I saw this video, it touched me, and it made me think about, it's a video of a four-year-old, and what she says in it was profound to me. It was really just one word she used that just really, really touched my heart. All right, go ahead and play that. Okay, pause it. Pause the video and then rewind it.
Tell Papa Happy Father's Day.
Can you turn it up?
Mama, you ain't videoing.
No, I'm not videoing. I just want to know why you don't want to tell him Happy Father's Day. I don't understand.
Because on Father's Day, that's a special day for your father. And you don't want to represent him. On Father's Day, it's representing all the fathers on the world. And you don't want to say Happy Father's Day. I said Happy Father's Day to my dad to represent him. And you don't want to represent your daddy. That's being ugly to your dad.
No, I'm going to tell him Happy Father's Day, but I want you to tell him too.
No, that's weird. We ain't sisters. Ain't Pooh and you, yeah, y'all are sisters. Y'all can tell each other Happy Father's Day to your daddy, but I ain't going to, because that's not my fault. It's my papa.
Okay.
That's it. Can you put the lights back on? The lights. Okay. So when I saw that really, really, really touched my heart. It touched my heart because she said, we need to honor your father. She said, all the fathers in the world is being honored today. You need to honor your, is that what she used? She wanted to use, you have to represent. And then she said this, she said, that's ugly. Wait a minute, did she say ugly or nasty? Ugly, that's ugly. She said, that's ugly. And honestly, it checked me. Because for many years, I really have not honored my father. Some of y'all have heard some of my testimony, and I may get a little emotional here, just because this message actually touched me. It touched me, and it convicted me that I was being nasty. Just to be honest with you, I was being nasty. But before I get into my message, I want to say this. First, I wanted to give honor to our pastor, Pastor Keith, as the father of this house. The father to our son, I was going to say children, and the father to our grandchildren. We honor you today and all the men here at Ayers. We honor you as fathers. I mean, it's a huge weight, really, that God has put on men. When I think about men, I get really kind of choked up because I think about how special you guys really are and how the men have been living beneath their design. They haven't taken courage. God has equipped them to be courageous. God has equipped them to be strong. God has equipped them to be the head. Not the tail, but the head. God has equipped them to stand tall and to be a king. And in some cases, a lot of them have fallen short. A lot of them, you can't even tell nowadays the difference. And I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about a bona fide man. You can't even sometimes tell the difference because they're so emotional. Women are the ones that are more emotional, should be. But there's a lot of men that are emotional, and there's an off balance there. There's an off balance in male and female. There's just an off balance in the. We need to what is it? Testosterone. We need that. We need that. We need the logical side of the male that you are. We need that. We need you to stand tall. We need you to stand up inside, not poke your chest out on the outside. Stand up on the inside. We need you to stand up and represent what you've been created to be. You all, when I think about it, Adam was the first man. The first man. He didn't say Adam and Eve. He created Adam first. And then he charged Adam to basically tend the beautiful garden that he gave him and to cultivate it. And then, now this is another thing that blows my mind. This is how powerful it's kind of saying that men are. He said that, I want you to name every animal. Can you imagine to name every animal? And what's so interesting, when an elephant came, he said, that's an elephant. He called it, and it looks like an elephant, doesn't it? I mean, you can't call that elephant an ant. And an ant looks like an ant. But he's endowed with the wisdom of God. Men, y'all are special creatures. You really are. And I believe that God is charging men to stand up. You know, men have been having what I believe heart attacks. Their heart has been attacked. And God is trying to massage the heart, to jump it back, to defibrillate, shock it back into the real you. The real you, standing tall, standing. And I'm not talking about on the outside, because people can mimic that. You can look like you are standing tall, but on the inside, you're small, very small. God is saying, arise, kings and princes, arise. Arise and take your rightful place in your home. You know, it's not, you know, I'm the king. I'm the king of this house. No, you don't have to say you the king. Be the king. You don't have to say it. Just be. And so God is just really, really, that's just on my heart. That just came from my heart to your heart, hopefully. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about give honor. This is the title, I guess, if you want to have a title. Give honor where honor is due. Give honor where honor is due. So now, did y'all know that honoring your parents actually is attached to you living a long life and a well life? Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. It says, honor thy father and mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. That word command means, that means I need you to do it. Honor your father and your mother. I need you to do it. That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's a command. It's not, you know, a suggestion. It's a command. He's saying, honor your mother and your father. And when you think about that, he didn't say, well, only honor them if they act right. He didn't say, only honor them if they treat you well, if they, you know, are the perfect parent. He didn't say any of that. He commanded us to honor them, irregardless of what's going on. And so God is commanding us to honor our mother and our father. It also says, actually, you can put this down, but Matthew's 15, 4 and 5, it says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curseth the father or mother, let him die the death. So I looked up that word curseth, and actually it was saying to be slight, swift, or trifling. Trifling. When I saw that, I was like, ooh, I've been trifling in honoring my father. And even in my mother, in some cases, I've been trifling. Proverbs 20:20 says, whosoever curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out of obscure darkness, meaning you going out. You can go out. This ain't nothing to play around, is what I'm getting. It's nothing. See, my whole life is a part of what I do in life is hedged on whether or not I honor my mother and my father. And so what is honor? I thought about it. I was like, okay, God, you're serious about this thing. Now, you're telling me to honor someone who maybe have fallen short of what I believed a father should be. So why are you putting a lot of emphasis? Number one, it was in your Ten Commandments. It was the sixth commandment. So why would you pay special attention to that? Well, the word honor comes from the Hebrew word, which is kabad or kabed, kabad or kabed, which basically means to be heavy or to give weight or burdensome. And so when I started to reflect on me as a parent in those words, you know, when God designed all of us, y'all, we didn't have a say-so who was going to be our parents. Think about it. You didn't petition in heaven, oh, I want to go down there to Leroy and Marjorie Anderson. I didn't do that. They didn't say, well, we want a little girl named Melanie. And they really didn't know. If they did say they want a little girl, they didn't know it was going to be this Melanie. You understand what I'm saying? And my name didn't come until after I was born, so they didn't even have a name for me. But the point I'm making is, it's in his sovereign will that God chose the people, y'all, that we were supposed to be born in, the family that we were born in. I couldn't have changed it if I tried. They couldn't have changed it if they tried. It was already ordained. Now, some of you may have come from a family and be like, dog, why would he put me in that? Like me, I was thinking, dog, I got really the short end of the stick. Why? God, did you love me? Why would you put me in a family that is broken? When I came on the scene, I was the third child. When I came on the scene, by then, my parents were going at it. By the time my sister came, and she's only 1 year younger than me, they were headed for divorce and separation. So, but anyway, this message began to touch me. Let me go back, because this message began to touch me. Well, let me go back to about the weight, the heaviness. Okay, so the fact that God in his sovereign will decided he wanted to birth me into these parents who really were young. They didn't, my dad actually, and this is common knowledge, but my dad married my mother because he had got her pregnant with my oldest sister. And so that's the reason why they got married. But my dad was a basketball player. I mean, he was big in Ohio. He was really big. And so I got my dad looking at my mother because she's pregnant. I got my mother looking at my dad because it's a future NBA star. So then here I come. Because none of it happened. I mean, my dad never did go to, you know, become that NBA star. And so, but back to what I was saying about the weight. When God created parents, y'all, it is weighty. It is weighty as far as the responsibility of a human life. And it doesn't just stop when the kid gets 18. It keeps going. And you can potentially be burdened by them if you don't release them to God. I mean, you think about your kids all the time. You do. When you have kids and even when they're not in your presence, you're always thinking about your kids. And so there is a weight, there is a sometimes burden that comes with it. There's a responsibility, a big, deep responsibility. You have to pray for them. You got to take care of them. You got to lead them. You got to guide them. I mean, there's just so much to being a parent. And so that is the heaviness, the honor. That all that I just got through talking about, that deserves honor. When you carry that baby, it deserves honor. I mean, if you've ever delivered or even carried the baby, you know, imagine weight heavy on your cervix. Well, you'd have to have a cervix to know what that feels like. But let me tell you, put a bowling ball in your belly and sit down, walk, you know, run sometimes because you got to run, you know, do all the things that you used to do before the ball that got in your belly. Do all that and see how that feels. This is heavy. And then you got to squeeze that big ball out. That's a whole nother, out of that little thing. I mean, I'm just saying. You got to squeeze it out. We don't have any kids in here, so that's good. So the point I'm making is that deserves honor. Well, if your mother or your father didn't do nothing else but birth you in this world, I tell you, they deserve honor. They really do. And I was thinking about my dad, you know, the Holy Spirit got on me, and he was like, you know, I need you to think about the things that your father did do right. And I got to thinking, I was like, you know what? He was there. Now, you know, granted, he wasn't there in the way that I would have liked him to be there, but when I think back, and I think about the little talks that we had and how he would always tell me how beautiful I was and how he would always, you know, talk about you could do anything you want to. To this day, am I right? He's always, like, encouraging me, telling me I could do anything that I choose to do if I just put my mind to it. And so honor, as I said, is something that really we all need to do. It's a command from God. It involves taking someone seriously into account, offering great respect and a place of importance. A place of importance. You know, when my dad, he took sick, I don't know, maybe was it last year? Time is flying. Anyway, he took sick to the point where he was on his deathbed. And I remember I said, man, I gotta go. I have got to go because I don't want to have any regrets. And amazingly, as I was going through those West Virginia mountains and Virginia mountains, I was reflecting on my dad and all of a sudden, just this whole gratitude within me started to rise. And I began to, like, think, oh, my God, what if I lose him? What if I, because at the time he was in a coma, I was like, well, what if I lose him before I even get to the hospital? And so that thing, it just really shook me. It literally shook me. And so when I got there, and make a long story short, he ended up coming around. My dad, I'm telling you, he's a trooper. This is not the first time he's been on his deathbed. He is a trooper. Anyway, but when I got back, I said, on my way back, I said, you know what? I said, I'll never ever take him for granted. I mean, I was so charged in, I can't wait to talk to him. In fact, I said to myself, I said, you know what? All this time he would call me honey and babe and, you know, sweetheart and stuff like that. And it would bother me. It would irk me because to me, I felt like you didn't own up to being able to call me honey and babe and all these sweet little endearing words. And so, but when he was on that deathbed, I said, oh my God, I would love to hear those words. Honey, I literally was like craving to hear that. And so for a little while, I was there. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna honor him for the rest of my life. Okay, Dad got well. And he called me one day and he's like, yeah, hi, honey. And I cringed and I was like, oh God. And so it bothered me, and I began to resort back into my old ways of seeing him and not honoring him. And I was nasty in my thoughts towards him. And it wasn't respectful at all. My dad wasn't the best dad that he could have been, or it's not because he didn't want to be, but it was what he basically was working with. And so, anyway, now the opposite of honoring someone is trivializing them, treating them as if they don't matter. And that's what I was doing. I was actually treating him as if he didn't matter. But when he was almost on his deathbed or dying, then that's when all of a sudden I woke up. I trivialized his position in my life. Now, fathers are so, so very important if you think about it. When, like, a mother carries the XX chromosome, right? The fathers carry the X and the Y. So you guys are really responsible for knowing whether it's going to be a male or a female, the baby, I'm saying. You're the one that is the one that chooses that based on your X and your Y. So, I mean, that to me, that's big, that the man actually chooses. In fact, in some cultures, they have the man name the child. I think that's fitting, really. The man should name the child, you know? I mean, because think about it, Adam named the animals. Well, why not name the child? He has the ability to do that, right? Think about that for a minute. Let's pause there. No. So over the years, I was so disappointed in my dad because he didn't measure up to what I desired in a dad. And so I justified my position, and I was angry with him, and I didn't honor him at all. And so God didn't say only honor them if they meet your conditions. He didn't say that. You know, when I think about, I think about, like, it might be stupid to some people, but for me it's like thought-provoking. Like, everybody in the earth had a mother and father, even Jesus. Jesus actually was born to a single mother and had a stepfather. And then the Adam and Eve never had a mother and father. Have y'all ever even thought about that? They are the only people in the whole creation that never had a mother or father. Huh? Well, they had the father, yeah, but I'm talking about an earthly mother and father. You understand what I'm saying? That's kind of deep. Made me think, I don't know, it just made me think about that. So, I don't know, so if y'all could be a fly in my head sometimes, y'all be like, y'all be flying all over the place, but like, dang, are you taking us here? Oh, no! Oh. I'm everywhere. Anyway, so as I reflected on my life, this message really kind of started to minister to me about me honoring my father. And so I called him one day, and I told him, I said, Dad, I said, I need to tell you something. I said, I need to ask you to forgive me. I didn't say, you know, I need to, what is it? You ask me, I ask you. Anyway, I said, I need to ask you to forgive me. And he said, what? I said, well, I've been really having some challenges over the years with you know, the way that I perceived you to be. And I told him, I said, I apologize for having an unrealistic expectation. I apologize for having an unrealistic expectation of how you should have been as a father. And he was kind of taken back by that. And I told him, I wrote this down because I wanted to be, okay, so this is what I said, for some reason I put this down. This was important because as long as I think I should have done better, this is what happened. So basically, as a parent, I started to reflect on myself. And I was saying that as long as I think I should have done better, I will be guilty for not doing better when the truth is I didn't know how. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it really made me think about him. And so that same revelation came to me regarding him. I called him and basically told him, you know, that I had unrealistic expectations and that that he couldn't meet even if he tried. And I said that wasn't right. So basically the bottom line was my dad wasn't an evil person. He just didn't know. And the Lord just began to show me, just by me being a parent, what it must have been like even for him to be a parent. I need three men. I need, actually, Rayshawn, if you could come up. And let's see. We'll have Terrence. and we'll have David. Okay. All right. So this is what the Lord kind of gave me, a visual of what happens in the lives of some men, if you can turn and face them. All right. So Rashawn actually represents adolescent. Okay. Oh, bring you all together, he said. Okay, so we got adolescent, young adult, and then manhood. Oh, look, I probably should have flipped it. You know what? Actually, interesting enough, I was going to have you here, but I don't know. So let's work with it. Okay, so you got adolescent, you got young man, and you got man. Now, in the adolescent stage, this is a stage where they just playing. They just want to play. They don't want responsibility. They just want to play. All they can do is think about the next adventure. They're not looking ahead. They're just playing. They're just playing. Then you got the man here who actually, young man, he now has to take some level of responsibility. So he's working, you know, he's holding a job down. He may have a family, and he's got a few friends. He may go out clubbing here or there, but he's just, he really doesn't know God. He's just, he knows of him, but he's not really rooted and grounded in God. And so his ways are carnal. He 1 minute he's going to church, next minute he's going to a club. You know, he's moved by his feelings too. I feel like I need another woman. I feel like, you know, I need some different types of pleasures. And so he acts upon it, whatever it is that he feels like. Then you got the man of God. The man of God is actually rooted and grounded in the Lord, and he has a fear and reverence for the Lord. And everything he does is out of the fear and reverence for God. So when he leads his family, he's loving his wife like Christ loved the church. He knows how to do it. Why? Because he's in the Word. He knows how to do it. Why? Because he's in fellowship with the Father. In fact, his fatherhood has tapped into the Father. Okay? The problem is, in some cases, the men in our lives have been stuck right here. They never got a chance to grow up. It takes a man to make a man. And he never had the male to get him to the next level of this young man. He's stuck right here. And depending on what he was doing here, like smoking marijuana, like drinking and alcohol, and he's stuck here, guess what? He grows up, but he's still stuck here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he went from an adolescent, because you're going to grow. See, whether we do anything or not, we're going to grow. But the other thing is, are you going to excel to the next level? Well, he's here. The other problem is your father, or you might be the father that's stuck here. As long as I paid the bills, I hung the moon because I paid the bills. You know, I got the electric on. You're sleeping, you eating. You know, you're doing good. As far as I'm concerned, because I'm busting my butt. I should be able to go out and get me a drink here or there because I'm busting my butt. So that father could potentially be stuck right here. And it's not because he's evil. He's just stuck. He never grew. He grew in stature, and he grew as far as physically. But he's still stuck mentally, emotionally in this young man's body. Then we got this man. most dads is ascribing to get to this point. But this is the man that is needed. This is the man that God is calling in this hour for men to rise up, because you're going to need him to do it. You can't do it in your own strength. This man right here will be lifting all kinds of weights. Why? Because he wants to look good. This man here is going to be lifting weights, but it's going to be the weight of what? What'd you say? Of the word. The weight of the word. It's the weight of prayer. This man is like chasing after God. He is. He's like, Lord, this is a big responsibility that I have. I can't do it on my own. And I need you as my father to help me. This man understands it. This man, look, in my own strength and in my own time. I'm sorry.
I want to be another man.
I know you do. I know. It's not who you are. It's not. And then this man here, he never gets a chance, y'all, to grow, because why? He has been leaning to his own understanding. He has been raising himself. And I'm telling you, when I looked at these different levels here, I saw my dad. And for me to have this unrealistic expectation, my father raised himself. And when I told him, that I had an issue with him, I told him, I said, I'm so sorry. And he began to share with me, y'all, all the things he went through. And it develops like this great compassion on the inside of me. And I began to look at him differently. And it's almost like, you got it honestly. You raised yourself. He raised himself. And so he did the best he could. Now, his best, according to me, wasn't good enough. But it doesn't matter, because he gave what he could. And I have to honor him for that. And now when I talk to him, if he wants to say, babe, because it's so funny, I told him, I said, Dad, I said, so I have to be honest with you. This is another conversation what I had. We all are transparent in our family. I said, Dad, I said, well, when you say honey and stuff like that, I said, it really makes me feel some kind of way. And I feel bad, because every time when you do it, you know, you don't see me on the other end, but I'm like really feeling some kind of way. I said, so can I ask you not to do that? And I explained to him, you know, how it made me feel and why I felt like it wasn't necessary for him to say it. He said, oh, okay, honey. He said, oh, honey. I mean, he got it honestly. He keeps doing it. So now I'm saying, okay, you know what? I can't stifle him. Yeah. I can't do that. So, you know, if he wants to keep, you know, apologizing, that's on him, but I can't keep stifling him. But this, he was locked in between these two worlds. And I noticed that what look, my dad was doing everything he could to keep his mind insane. Or sane. Sane. I'm sorry. Not insane, but sane. He was trying to actually, because he went through a lot of relationship issues and things like that, to the point where he was going to kill himself. And so he stayed in these two worlds here, back and forth. Very successful. My father was a very successful businessman. He never went to college, but he probably made millions of dollars. And he really didn't have a good education, but he was very smart here. And he stayed in between these two worlds here. But now, thank God, he's moving along, because God is with him now, and he's been learning about God and all of that. He's crossed over to this. And the old nature of me wanted to get offended because I missed out here. Okay? But let it go. The Bible says, forget those things that are behind you and press towards the mark of the high calling. Forget what he didn't do. Embrace what he can do. And so you might be a father. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank y'all. You might be a father. I am all over the place. I ain't even tapping into any of these notes. Glory to God. But you might be a father. Let's talk about the father for a minute. I don't know how much time do I have left? Okay. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the father. God really wants us to look at him as our father. He really does. And it's hard because, you know, he is in heaven and we don't physically see him. But he really wants us to connect to him like our father, if not even greater. You know, because the things that our fathers don't do, he can make up if we give him a shot. But we got to see him as father. I'm going to try to get on some of these notes here. Okay, so how does God want us to honor our parents? The first thing is respect them. We need to respect them. As I said, God's sovereignty, which is his supreme power and authority, he decided what parent we would actually have. So we got to respect that. We got to respect that God, for whatever reason, this is the way he... And honestly, when I think back over my life, y'all, I am more the better of a person because of what I went through. All the hurt, the anguish, the being brokenhearted, all of that culminated to me being the person that I am today. Now, it was excruciating when I went through it, but when I look back, if I had to change anything to get me to where I am today, I don't think it would be anything. As interesting as that may seem, because at the time it was excruciating. But who I am today, I'm very resourceful because I've had to deal with lack. Very, very keen when it comes to surviving. I can survive. You put me in any situation and I will come out a winner. I will, because that's just, I've been in a position where I had to. But imagine if I grew up in a privileged home, would I be who I am today? Would I think the way I think? Would I care the way I care? If I was really brought up in a privileged type of situation, I appreciate life. I do. I appreciate everybody. But what I wasn't doing was I wasn't honoring my father. The other thing is, how does God want us to honor our parents? Write down Psalms 135:5. It talks about whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and in earth. That kind of backs up what I was saying about his sovereign will, about your parent that you were birthed in. The other thing you need to do is pray. You have to pray for your parents. Got to pray for them. And the things that you pray for them is their health, their finances. You pray for them to have favor, because most of us have parents that are older and you don't want your parents to be dogged out. I don't care how bad they were. You don't want them to be in a nursing home mistreated. So pray for them, you know, that they would find favor with man. Ask God to help you to forgive all of their shortcomings as a parent. That's so vitally important. Ask God to help you to forgive them. How many of y'all know sometimes it's, you know, you need to do it, but you don't have the courage or the strength to do it? Well, ask God to help you to actually forgive. Speak kindly of them. This was big for me. Speak kindly of them and about them. So when you're talking to them and, you know, to or about them, speak kindly of them. Be patient with them. Some of you have older parents. I know I talk to my dad, and bless his heart. So he might say, so what's your address? And so what I say is, 120 Austin Field. Okay, so what's your address again? 120. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, say it again. 120. 1, 2. And so my look, even just thinking about it, it's like, oh my God, can I just text it to you? Well, he didn't know how to text. So, but be patient with them. And so I have to see, because at one point he was able to just rattle it off and just put it down. Now his mind and his hands are, the eye coordination is not the way it used to be. And so how dare me, you know? And then I was getting an attitude, like, you can't get this? Come on now. Be patient with them. Show them agape, unconditional love. That's what love is all about. You know, when you think about love, love is a power. It is a huge power force. And God wants us to operate in that love. See, think about it. Do me a favor. Turn the lights. Let's say that love represents lights, okay? But turn off up. Okay. So right now, love actually is light, but love can only be activated if we what? Turn it on. So if we don't turn it on, guess what? We're in the dark. You see what I'm saying? So love is always there. In fact, the scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. You can turn it back on. Turn love on. Turn love on. Do you see what I'm saying? You got to turn love on. Because love is there. We just need to turn it on. So we got to love them with agape love. We have to, here's another big one. Don't have no regrets. Live life every day with your parents with no regrets. Don't walk away, you know. In fact, we should all be waking up every day thinking about, okay, I don't want to take for granted this day and walk away, God bless you, walk away and have any regrets. So you think that it's not going to matter, but it does when you don't have. And so take advantage and don't have no regrets. I'm not going to talk about that. How much time I have? Okay. And so, but we're God wants us to look at him as our Father. And it's sometimes difficult to do that because we're looking at our own fathers and we kind of measure God with our own fathers, and that's not even fair. Give him a shot. Start coming to him as children. You know what I mean? Sometimes we can be too grown for our britches. You know, we really can be. And God wants us to come humble towards him. I mean, how you would your own father, you know, come to him like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he wants to love on us as daddy. He really wants us to get a revelation of him being a father. See, we got to have a revelation of that. It can't just be, I heard he's a father. You understand what I'm saying? I heard, you know, that's what he does. But we really got to have a revelation that he is our father. I mean, and think about it. If he's our father and he owns everything, we shouldn't lack anything if he's our father. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we see him as our father, as our provider, if we see him as our protector, if we see him to comfort us, you know, if we see him as the main thing in our life, we got to see him as Father. And I think if he was to have a heart's cry this morning, it would be, please, please, please see me as your daddy. Please, please, please see me as your father. The greatest father in the world. I won't disappoint you. I won't leave you. I will teach you. I will show you things to come. I will give you the wisdom to navigate in this world. See me as Father. I can build you. I can make you. I can grow you. I can do what needs to happen in your life. You got to see me as Father. You know, God is off the chains. He wants to love on us, but a lot of times, y'all, we are too quick to get out of his presence. Sometimes we just don't quiet ourselves and lock in and reflect on where he's brought us from. Sometimes we're so busy that we miss opportunities to really fellowship with him, because he wants to talk to us. He wants to say some things to us. He wants to grow us. He wants the little boy inside you to grow up. It's time to become the men that God has created y'all to be. It is. It's just time. And you got to quit making excuses. Excuses will keep you trapped into one of those two stages that we saw earlier. You know, I mean, everybody could come up with an excuse why it's hard or difficult for them to move past where they are. But enough is enough. People are counting on you. God is counting on you. Your wives are counting on you. Your children, your family is counting on you to rise up and take your rightful place as father in your household. And you got to lead, not lord. You got to lead and not lord. Lord, is that it? I think that's it. My time is up.